Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So if you or someone you know has Parkinson's disease, you are not alone. In the United States, 50,000 to 60,000 new cases are diagnosed each year, adding to the 1 million people who currently have it. The Center for Disease Control rated complications from Parkinson's disease as the 14th leading cause of death in the U.S. Worldwide, it is estimated that 4 to 6 million people suffer from the condition. And you know, most of the research I look at really points to the fact that our best hope is to get treated early if we want to control symptoms. And we can do that by recognizing early warning signs. So I'm here with Dr. Fiona Gupta. She's the medical director of the Deep Brain Stimulation Program at the Movement Disorder Center at Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. She completed a two-year fellowship in movement disorders at the Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York, and her neurology training at the University of Connecticut, where she also served as chief resident. Dr. Gupta, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So let's just do this. Before we go any further, let's just list out what you consider to be the early warning signs, and then we can talk about some of them more specifically. So just list those early warning signs for my listeners.
Sure. So I think, number one, it's important to realize that every single person with Parkinson's is very different in how they present, but I will give you sort of a rundown of some of, you know, the early signs that we may look for. So interestingly enough, mood disorders like depression or anxiety are symptoms that have been shown to predate the onset of motor symptoms with Parkinson's, so they're called premotor symptoms. In addition, constipation actually has been found to be a premotor symptom. Loss of smell, loss of taste, and then there's also a disorder that occurs in sleep called REM behavioral disorder, in which patients tend to act out their dreams, yell in their dreams, thrash in their sleep, move about wildly. These are all classes of symptoms called premotor symptoms. So again, predating even the onset of clinical symptoms of Parkinson's, like a tremor or stiffness or slowness of movement.
Yeah. So go back. So that's interesting. The premotor symptoms, you mentioned the mood disorders, for instance, and the constipation. Now, obviously, those are pretty nonspecific, though. So if you have mood issues, constipation, the first thing you're probably going to be worked up are maybe thyroid issues, stuff like that. Once that's ruled out, maybe we need to move Parkinson's up into our thought process pretty early.
Oh, that's very well put and exactly right. I mean, as you mentioned before, we now know the earlier you treat Parkinson's disease, the better patients do.
Yeah, so these kind of warning signs are going to be important for recognizing quickly. Well, go back to that one you talked about with the acting out the dreams. What is that again?
Yeah, that's actually very interesting. It's called REM, or rapid eye movement, REM, behavioral disorder, and we do see that this is a very strong factor and symptom that predates Parkinson's disease. What happens in REM sleep is it's our deepest stage of sleep. Basically, it's called rapid eye movement sleep because our the only thing moving are our eyes. Our bodies are paralyzed, so we don't act out our dreams. We don't, you know, move about or thrash about or sleepwalk and things like that. In Parkinson's disease, very early on, because of, you know, the involvement of certain areas of the brain, this ability for the body to become paralyzed when dreaming is actually inhibited. And so patients tend to have violent, vivid dreams, yell, thrash, you know, hit their bed partners, all these different things that may occur.
Wow.
So this is a very common premotor symptom. And I think it really does or should raise a red flag if this symptom is mentioned to a primary care physician, maybe to consider, you know, more evaluation of potential Parkinsonism.
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Gupta, though, someone who's practiced internal medicine, and so that's a new one for me. I would, if I were a betting man, I would probably wager a decent amount of money that most primary care doctors are not aware of that. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. And I think, you know, the push now is really to educate on Parkinson's disease across the board, so not just on neurologists or, you know, neurology residents. It's more even to take it to the primary care level, because they are such an integral part of helping to diagnose Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. So let's say we have a patient come in and we're putting together this story, right? You know, we're thinking, okay, there's some early signs here. I've ruled out some other hormonal issues. So, you know, I'm starting to think early Parkinson's. What do we do for them, though, in that early stage? What is the treatment?
There's many different things, but, you know, whenever I diagnose a patient with Parkinson's, I spend a long time discussing non-pharmacologic treatments, so things that you can do for early Parkinson's to really ensure a better quality of life and even potentially to slow disease progression. So when I talk about non-pharmacologic treatment, I'm talking about things like exercise. I can't speak enough about the role of exercise in Parkinson's disease across all stages. So the earlier this is implemented, the better. Proper sleep techniques, making sure patients are getting enough sleep, stress reduction, you know, heart-healthy kind of good dietary intake. These are all very, very crucial in regards to living well with Parkinson's disease. So upon diagnosis early on, a lot of lifestyle, you know, measures have to sort of be implemented or adjusted, but really does ensure better outcomes. Let me back up one second there.
So if we start some of these things, the exercise, the sleep, the stress reduction, what you've seen in your own practice and maybe even backed up in the literature is that there is better control of the disease, better outcome overall?
Oh, definitely. I mean, clinically and in the literature, better control of the disease, better outcomes, and exercise really has been the only thing that has been shown to slow the progression of Parkinson's disease. So there's many studies
Any particular form of exercise? Are we talking cardiovascular? Are we talking weight training? You know, muscle tone? I mean, what are we talking about?
That's exactly right. So it's a combination of cardiovascular. It can be some light cardio, but in addition, gait and balance training, stretching, you know, some light weight training. So really just a nice mix. And, you know, we recommend about 30 to 40 minutes three times a week. If patients can get that in, that's great. Of course, the more, the better. So, you know, there's also many community classes across the country that are really focused in on proper exercises for Parkinson's disease, and also many good physical therapists, I think, that are very attuned to Parkinson's and what to do. So I encourage anyone with early, moderate, late Parkinson's, really the exercise component needs to be, you know, really, really implemented.
You said something about the sleep. You said improving sleep patterns, sleep behavior. How do you do that? What exactly do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the sleep is really for all of us. It's the only time our brains kind of clean themselves out. It's almost like, you know, a little janitor in our brain when we're sleeping that kind of takes away all the toxins, and it's what we call restorative or neural restoration is done through sleep. So, you know, it's a very common thing. If patients with Parkinson's disease don't sleep well, they really have trouble getting through the day. They have a lot of fatigue. The medication may not work. The overall symptoms of Parkinson's can become worse. And it's about, you know, the data is about 70 to 90% of patients with Parkinson's disease do have some sleep problems. Most can fall asleep okay, but then they're up every few hours and then up again. That's called sleep fragmentation. So I am really... it's really imperative when I treat a patient with Parkinson's that sleep is adequately addressed. And these are things like sleep hygiene, making sure patients are going to bed the same time every night, no heavy exercise before bed, cool, dark room, no TV, you know, things like that to ensure a good quality of sleep. And then potentially if a patient may need a sleeping aid, we you know, fully discuss it, but it is something I will consider because I know the importance of sleep when it comes to treating Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, and again, the outcomes can improve significantly there. We only have about 30 seconds or so. So, Dr. Gupta, is there a website that you like to use for Parkinson's patients that you can share with my listeners?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's many different websites. You know, I do like the American Parkinson's Disease Association, the APDA website, APDA.org, or the PDF, Parkinson's Disease Foundation website. And at my institution, which is, Hackensack University Medical Center, there is some information about what we do here with regards to diagnosis and treatment of Parkinson's disease.
That sounds great. Dr. Gupta, you did a great job. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate all the work that you're doing. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.